Edition of Mornings for the Master. We're glad to have you with us today. My name is Chip Horton, and with us is Richard Rutledge, your regular host on Monday mornings, and he'll be with us today. And also, we have with us Albert Stein sitting in the studio with us today. He's taking a break from work for a few minutes. I'm sure he has to rush right back. We're glad to have Albert with us as we study through John chapter 15 today. We are aware of regular listeners out there, so we salute you as well. I know Mom and Dad normally listen in Brentwood, Tennessee, and so welcome to you. And I know my wife is listening this morning as she goes about her day, and we're thankful for her being online. We're grateful to Miss Ann. Hey, Miss Ann. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad that you're out there and waving back at us. I can see you waving just now. We're glad to have Miss Frida. Glad you're out there, Miss Frida. Make sure you got that Fox channel turned down real low where you can hear us this morning. Glad to have you with us, and so many more of you. We're certainly aware that are listening, and if we didn't mention your name or you want to make known that you're listening, be aware that the chat window is open, and we'd be glad to have your comments. We'd be glad to hear from you. We had an interesting day Friday, Richard, because J.J., set up some kind of I don't know computers, but he set his phone up in the corner and he had Facebook streaming live, and we had 144 people that checked in that day to peek in or several to watch, and there was a slew of people that were lit that were commenting along the way. And I said, JJ, what are you doing? And he said, oh, we're streaming live on Facebook. And I said, man, that's like the Rush Limbaugh show. People don't always want to see who's on the radio. That's why they're listening to the radio. You know, right. I have a face for radio.
Yeah, and I have a voice for print.
A voice for print. That's it. Anyway, it was interesting, and it was refreshing to know that so many people were listening. We don't always hear from them on the radio, but we know they're there, you know, because we see the IP addresses, and we know that so many of you are listening, so thank you for that. We're glad that you found the Gospel Radio Network, and we want to encourage you to use us to your benefit, spread the news around the world of what we're doing, tell your friends about us, and continue to use that advertisement that is the word of mouth. We'd be glad to have you tell us about, tell some others about us today. We normally start our mornings with our bulletin board address, and I know that Richard had the opportunity to go down to Tyler last night and listen in to the gospel meeting that was there. So how'd that go, brother?
It went great. This is the spring gospel meeting we're talking about at the Broadway Church of Christ there in Tyler, Texas. Rick Brumback's there. He's the director of the Southwest School of Bible Studies in Austin, Texas, and he's conducting this meeting this week. And last night, he went through and let Jesus answer the question, what must I do to be saved?
Oh, wow. You know,
and so we looked at that. He had a great response, had a tender heart, obey the gospel last night. So
awesome.
We have a new sister in Christ. From there, we rejoiced with that opportunity to be able to witness that new birth last night.
Mm.
And I know that they're looking forward to even tonight as the meeting will conclude. This last night of the meeting is going to take place at 7 p.m. tonight there at the Broadway Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas. You can give them a call at 903-561-9560 if you need more information or directions to the building. But it's there at Broadway and Cumberland in Tyler. And if you can't make it down there and you're not in a local congregation somewhere, you can listen live here on the Gospel Radio Network. Just
awesome.
Click that link there from the home page that mentions, you know, that has the spring gospel meeting tab. You'll be able to listen in to that meeting live tonight. We also have coming up May the 1st, starting May the 1st, going through the 4th, the Emory Church of Christ hosting their meeting with Jeff Rollo, The Whole Duty of Man.
Mm.
And Jeff is the pulpit preacher for the Lovelady Congregation in Lovelady, Texas. And they'll kick off this meeting Sunday. It'll run through Wednesday, 7 p.m. nightly, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And they're located at 715 Lennon Drive or Highway 69 North, right there in Emory.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find them at emorychurchofchrist.org or give them a call, 903-473-2658, for information about that. And then May the 7th, ladies have an opportunity for Ladies' Day over in Blossom. they're having Becky Blackman come up, and she is doing Singing in the Rain is the theme. Registration will kick off that morning at 8:30. They're going to serve a continental breakfast and a luncheon as well. And they're located right there at Highway 82 East in Blossom. They'll have a phone number for you, but you can find them on the web. And then two more events. University Church of Christ is hosting University in San Marcos, that mm-hmm. is, San Marcos, Texas. They host the Focal Point Workshop every year. Great workshop, a lot of information given out during that, and it's a good event to attend if you're able to be down there. That'll be April 30th through May the 5th. So that's just right around the corner. They'll kick off Thursday, or let's see. Now I just went blank on it. I thought they run through Sunday through Thursday is what they do.
Okay.
Or Saturday through Thursday this year. And you can go to univcofc.com, and that's the university's congregation's webpage. On that homepage, you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a link for registering for Focal Point, and also another link where you can download the PDF for the flyer that gives you the schedule of the speakers and the classes and everything that's going on that week. And then, as soon as it ends Thursday, May the 5th, begins the 24th Annual Gulf Coast Lectures down in Portland. Our brother Ryan, that's what he's doing right now. He's on the road. He went down to Lovelady the other day and recorded there and broadcast. He's going to be at University at the Focal Point. He's going to be recording, and we'll be broadcasting some of that event live as well. So look there on the homepage for a link to go live for Focal Point. And then the same thing for the Portland lectures, the Gulf Coast lectures down in Portland, Texas. He's going to be down there recording for Tolstar and broadcasting some of that event live for us as well, TGRN. So that kicks off May the 5th. It'll run through May the 8th. The theme is Christian Fellowship. And have several great lessons lined out for us. And if you want more information, just go to portlandtxcofc.com. That's the Portland webpage, and you can get the information from there. I think that's all we have on the bulletin board this morning. But don't forget, if you have an event that we didn't mention, shoot us an email at mornings@tgrn.org, and we'll try our best to get it on the air. You know, we don't always get all of these in the mail or the emails. But those that we do get, we try to announce in a timely manner.
Yeah, I was listening into what you're saying about Ryan there and all the different places that he's gone. I wonder if Brother Rollo's giving him frequent flyer miles or anything like that, because he's all over the place,
well,
man.
Actually, Jason's going to be there with him at all of them as well, because he was at Lovelady, and I sent some information packets. And it's something I want us to bring up on the show one day, and in lieu of our bulletin board, we'll probably share some information about this new work that we're endeavoring to oversee here. But he's took some flyers there, and I asked him to carry them with him, because he's going to be going to Focal Point, and he's going to be going to Portland. They're both making those travelings.
Yeah, his name shows up on a bunch of these meetings as well this time of year, so they might be trying to outdo one another, you know.
Right.
Well, that's great. That's a good opportunity. And so many of you that listen to us, perhaps you're in a hospital room today and you're not doing so well, or you're recovering. Maybe you're in a facility, assisted living facility of some sort, or whatever your situation may be. We want you to know we're here for you all day long. You just got the opportunity to listen to Mike Bonner a few minutes ago as we came on the air, and they're going through the Book of Job, and it sounds like they're doing a wonderful job. And throughout the day, we've got Faithful Broadcasting, and if you want to tune in even tonight at our assembly hour at 7 o'clock tonight, we'll be going through Psalm 103. We'll have that playing for you tonight, Lord willing. And so if you're interested in that, we invite you to tune into that. Our assemblies play on Sundays as well. And so we are packed 24 hours a day with plenty of a cappella singing and faithful preachers preaching the Word. And, boy, we just want you to stay tuned. So, you know, you might have to turn it down a little bit for wherever you are. But, you know, I see people walking up and down the streets and in the grocery stores. They got their earbuds in, and I just know they're listening to TGRN all the time. But we want you to use us if we can get in, if you need to get in touch with us. If you have a programming note, you know, you can contact us through mornings info@tgrn.org. If you'd like to have us mention something specifically, you have a question about our show, something that was said, something that you might want to study further, we'd invite you to contact us at office@tgrn.org, mornings@tgrn.org. Or you can just call us here on the old-fashioned telephone. You can pick it up and call us at 903-537-4129.
And if they want toll-free, they can reach us at 844-F-O-R-T-G-R-N. 844-4-T-G-R-N.
Wow, that's something new. That's an adjustment, isn't it?
It is.
Something to get used to. It's kind of like the disappearance of phone booths. You know, something to have to get used to now, you know.
Speaking of getting used to, did I say 800? It's 844.
Yeah, 844.
Okay. Yeah. There it's 844, go. Which is toll-free, but it's 844-4-F-O-R-T-G-R-N.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're glad to have you with us today. And as we mentioned earlier, we're going to be launching out into the deep in Chapter 15 of John. And we have a great opportunity to listen to Jesus. If you have one of those red letter editions, you'll notice that there's no black letters here. It's all Jesus today, as it has been even for the past little while. And so we're going to listen to him as he launches out this morning, talking about the vine and the branches. So we basically divided this chapter of 27 verses into about three sections. And so we'll try this first section together with a reading of verses 1 through 8.
I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the words which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples.
You know, the first thing I saw, Richard, those first two words, I am. I don't know why recently, that maybe one of the sermons that I recently had the privilege to study, but keep going back to Moses. Mm-hmm. And I thought about the bush there in Exodus chapter 3. And, you know, the excuses, I guess you could say, that maybe it is that Moses is offering up why he doesn't need to go back to Egypt. But, you know, he says, who am I going to say sent me? And he says, you tell him the I am. I am that I am. And so several times, as has been duly noted throughout this study, we see these I am statements, and there's many to examine, but the very first one that we see here today, brother, is I am the true vine. And, you know, I would insist that if he says I am the true vine, that would insinuate that others have tried to say that I'm the vine, or I am the way, he says I am the genuine article.
Right. We saw it. You know, we saw in chapter 13, I'm the good shepherd, I'm the door. 14, I'm the way. Here, now, I'm the vine. I'm the bread and life. I'm the resurrection. All of these things, these I am statements, indicate so much for us about Jesus.
Powerful. And so we have the privilege of looking at the great I am this morning as he stands before us and ministers unto us. And he gives us the identity right off, you know, in some of the parables, we are left to kind of ponder for a moment until he comes back and explains. But immediately, we're given the instruments of understanding here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So all questions are removed. And something that we might go ahead and throw out there, brothers, that so many individuals today have a misunderstanding of what this is. And so, you know, would it be possible to understand that all of the many, many congregations of denominations around the world, as they may understand it, are the branches? How could we get that out of such a teaching today when he's talking to people?
Right. And he's pointing out the fact that, and I like an outline that I have of this, and I don't know where I actually got the points from, wrote them down somewhere before. But this very beginning is so important, and it's the root of discipleship. I am the vine. And we have to be attached to Christ. We have to abide. You know, when we look at 2 John 9 through 11, mm-hmm. he who abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He doesn't have the Father. He doesn't have the Son. But whosoever abides in his doctrine mm-hmm. hath both the Father and the Son. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea that, well, we can all say different things, do different things, and all be branches off of the vine. Jesus is the vine. We've got to be attached to him. We have to do the things that he said. That's Hebrews 5:8-9. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the author of eternal salvation unto all those that obey him.
That's right.
And this idea that, oh, we're all attached in that way is not, you know, you can't have these different fruits from a tree, you know, the same tree. You know, you can't have this idea that one's producing oranges and one's producing grapes and one's producing, you know, figs. It's not some strange multiplicity of things. It's the fact that he is the vine, the root, that we must stay attached to.
Yeah, so when we look at, you know, the vine, obviously we're understanding that there is one doctrine, there is one gospel, Galatians 1, there is one husbandman, there is one. That goes back to Ephesians 4. There's just one, you know, the seven ones that are mentioned there. And so out of this one vine, you can't have things like Calvinism and Mormonism and all this, you know, premillennialism and all these different isms, because somebody's going to be wrong.
That's right.
And so there can't be but one that is right. And Jesus says, if you're in me, I'm in you, and the production is going to be fruit. And recently we've pruned some of the things in our yard. I know you have too. And, you know, you cut them back and they produce even more, you know, they branch out. We've got some rose bushes in the front yard that are absolutely going crazy because of the work that, Jody did by going back and pruning those things back.
That's what it always reminds me of. You know, if you want them to continue to bloom, mm-hmm. you continue to cut them back, and you cut them, they bloom again. You cut those dead ones off.
Yep.
And we see this picture here. But he goes on in that as well. The other point of that outline is there's the root of discipleship, which is Jesus. I am the vine. The relationship is of the disciples is you are the branches. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not the vine. We're the branches.
Right.
And, you know, then when we looked at it as well, there's renewal of the discipleship, like you mentioned right there, the cleansing and pruning. Mm-hmm. And the response, abide in the vine. And then we have a result, you're going to bear fruit. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty good outline for
it
those eight verses, you know, that's going to happen.
Absolutely. There's a process, and it happens the same way every time. He says in verse 3, ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. And maybe in your Bible you have some center column references, and in that you might very well see 1 Peter 1:22. Mm-hmm. Says that, you know, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so this idea of being obedient to the word and following the word only makes the soul clean. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17, what? Thy word is truth. And so truth will set you free. John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32. It cleanses you in 1 Peter 1:22. It's pure and undefiled, John 17 and verse 17. All these things are magnified in the teachings of Jesus Christ. You are clean through the word that I have spoken. It's that word that keeps us clean, 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. It's that word that takes us to heaven, John 14. You know, I mean, all these things are amazing to behold in the light of this teaching. He says, abide in me. You know, an abide is I think it was Cody Westbrook that some time ago did a word study that really enthralled me. It was on the word abide. And that is a very deep word, Richard. You think about the different times that you see even abode in the Bible. And what that shows me is when they abode there several days, when they abode there for a period of time, it's a place of lodging. It's a place of rest and security. It's a place to hang your hat, you might say. And so here's this abide in me. And, you know, as has been pointed out by some of our scholars, that's in the Greek, that's an imperative. And so that is a maxim. You have to follow the plan. If you're going to produce fruit, if you're going to be fit for the kingdom, if you're going to find yourself in eternity with Jesus, then you have to abide in me.
You know, he had already said earlier in our study in John, remember in chapter 8, that verse that we know so well, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Mm-hmm.
But he had said in the previous verse to those Jews who believed on him, "If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." That same idea, this abiding in Christ is abiding in the teachings of Christ.
Absolutely.
And Colossians 3:16, letting that teaching of Christ abide in us. You know, that's what he says, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you or abide in you or live in you. That abiding there is such an important endeavor for us. I was going to share, Paul said this in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 23, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel."
Mm.
You know, that's that abode.
It is.
We make our abode there.
Absolutely. That's, I think you mentioned 1 John 2 a minute ago. You know, if you're going to abide, then you're going to walk as he walks. You know, we're going to be walking side by side. You know, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? You know, we're going in the same direction. We're working the same works. And so we have this this beautiful thing laid before us. And I don't know when I did it, brother, but I went through here and marked all the different places that abide's used. And it's just over and over, verse number 4, 5, 6, 7, verse 10. He continues to talk about abiding. And so 9 different times I see in these couple of verses here. And so I thought, you know what? I need to pay attention to something that's mentioned over and over and over. And so he's teaching us about abiding in him. And what the benefit is that going to be? He says, "I am the vine and ye." Who's he talking to? We're not talking to the, you know, like in Revelation 2 and 3, we're not seeing the 7 churches of Asia. He's talking to individuals here, right? I mean, he's talking to those that are abiding in him. Ultimately, it would be us. It would be children. It would be those that are following his commandments. It's those that would be listening and following the words of the disciples that would be working his works, as he prayed in John 17, for that unity. And so those that would abide in him choose to do just that. We have to make that choice in life. And, you know, choices have been a part of Bible history as far back as we can remember. You remember that Moses would call out before the congregation and he would say, "Choose you this day whose side you're going to be on." You know, who's on the Lord's side? Joshua said the same thing. Moses would say the same thing. And Exodus 30, perhaps. But there's all these times that we have to make a choice. And so we're encouraged here today, even right now, to make a choice to abide in Jesus and follow him and be a fruit producer. And ultimately, as you go down a little further, please God Almighty. You know, it's an amazing thing to just sit back for a minute and think, you know, I can please the creator of the universe.
So, Chip, Jesus is saying there is a location for salvation, you know, in him. Abide in, and people understood that. This idea, yeah. And again, if we, you know, to look over to 2 John 9 through 11, where he says, "Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ," you know, going outside, leaving the dwelling, you know, he's telling us to abide in something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Noah and his family understood, you know, that you have to abide inside, stay within the confines of the ark in order for you to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
There was a location of salvation. It was the ark. And Peter even reminds us, pointing back to that day, about baptism does now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. And what does that do?
saves
it
us.
It saves. In Galatians 3 and 27 and Romans 6, 3 and 4, those individuals who are baptized into Christ,
mm-hmm.
where we abide in Christ.
Right.
And, you know, this need to abide in Him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a beautiful teaching. We want to be fruit bearers. That's what we want to do. That's what God expects of us. You know, when you plant a lemon tree in the backyard, I mean, aren't you expecting lemons? I mean, that's the reason you planted it. And so God expects of us to bear much fruit and glorify Him. Was it a Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5, beginning at about verse 16 or so, we are to, you know, we are to let our light shine and so that others may see our good works and what? Glorify God, which is in heaven. That's the reason we're here. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, fear God and keep His commandments. We are here to do His will. Verse number 6, you start to see this flip side, right? If a man abide not in me. And so we're seeing what would happen if you choose not to. And again, I see this picture even in our backyard. You know, when we clip these things and we throw them on the pile, they stay green for a day or two. I mean, you know, before they finally wither away. And the point is, away from the bush from which they were just cut, away from the nutrients that are in the trunk, they cannot survive on themselves. And so as we are... as we have chosen not to be in the vine, as we have chosen to try to live on our own, and certainly Jeremiah 10:23 speaks to that, that's not possible. There is a repercussion to choosing not to abide in Jesus. And so you see this mention of the hell fire. You know, they're cast into the fire and they are burned. And so we certainly would warn and admonish anyone today that would choose not to abide in Jesus. Be aware that there is a consequence for that decision.
Chip, it reminds me of what Jesus spoke of in John chapter 10. You know, when He said in verse number 10, the thief cometh not but to kill and to steal and to steal and to kill and destroy,
mm-hmm.
but I've come to give life and life more abundantly.
Mm.
You know, when we remove ourselves, we're separated from Christ,
mm-hmm.
life loses its joy.
Mm-hmm.
We wither and deteriorate, and that's what happens. You know, that thief is coming to steal and to kill and destroy, and destruction comes.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to Ephesians chapter 2, that life without God, life without Christ is a life without hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here that's what I sort of see. He says, when you're not abiding in me, you're like that branch that's laying over there by itself. It begins to wither and wither and wither. Until finally, in the end, it's kindling.
Mm-hmm. And again, the way my brain works, I don't often understand, but I was suddenly drawn to remember the messengers that went into Sodom. And I said, oh, no, we're going to stay out here in the street. And they said, no, you must come inside. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to do well out there in the street. Please come in the house where safety is found. And so, you know, we need to be in Jesus where safety is found. You know, we could go and talk about all the wonderful things that are in Christ, those blessings, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And so if all those things are in Christ, then what benefit is there being to outside of Christ? There's
no
benefit.
Right. And we have such a great example. You know, a lot of times we look at Lot about what not to do.
Yeah.
You know, all the mistakes he made as a father, as a husband, by choosing to go there and to put his family through that, and all that he lost, you know, all that he thought he would gain, but he lost everything.
He did.
You know, he loses all of those worldly possessions. He leaves with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He loses his wife. He loses his sons-in-laws. Mm-hmm. He loses the purity of his daughters, all because of that choice.
Yeah.
But, you know, the New Testament reminds us that righteous Lot,
mm-hmm.
he was a righteous man, and we see a good example of what righteous people do,
mm-hmm.
and that is even the strangers who they come in contact with, they want to bring them into a place of safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a good lesson for us. You know, every person we come in contact, we want to invite them into Christ. Come into the place of safety. You don't want to abide out there. You don't want to stay out there.
That's right. There's danger out there in the darkness. Terrible things happen in the darkness.
That's right.
He said in verse 7, if ye abide in me. And that gets back to your comment, Richard, in John chapter 8, because, you know, there is a problem here. Some people choose not to, but some people choose. You know, Jesus said that many there be that find the wide way of destruction, you know, and he says, if you abide in me, those few that find it, if you abide in me, my words in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so notice that if we have the ability to be in Christ, we have that avenue of prayer. Specifically here, he's talking to those that would be his apostles. We understand all that. But notice that the power of prayer is available to those that are in Christ. Certainly God hears everything, but we have the ability to ask, ask in confidence, go boldly unto the throne, as it were. Herein is my Father glorified. How is that? How is the Father glorified? Well, we talked about that in Matthew 5 just a moment ago. Certainly by glorifying him, we are bearing much fruit. And so notice what he says, bearing much fruit, glorifying the Father makes you what? A disciple, a follower, a lover.
It's almost a lot like he says, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a byproduct.
Yes.
If we love him, we're going to keep his commandments.
Right.
If we abide in him, we're going to bear fruit. You know, I think of, you know, what Peter says when we see those Christian graces in 2 Peter, mm-hmm. there, chapter 1. Mm-hmm. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll neither be barren or unfruitful. Mm-hmm. Like King James says barren, that word almost idle.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's a byproduct of this. Mm-hmm. There's a byproduct of living in Christ, and that is that you're going to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
James, your faith is going to be accompanied by works.
Mm-hmm.
For with faith without works is a dead faith.
Right.
So, you know, it is this byproduct of faithful Christian living.
Amen. Yeah, that's like the litmus test, you know. What was it in chapter 13, about verse 35 of John? He says that hereby they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so our love one for another is going to be broadcast, showing whose we are. We're going to love like the Father and the Son.
Now, not to be confused, I mean, it's not the idea that that we're going to be converting souls to Christ. I can't convert anyone. The gospel and Jesus has the power to change individuals and to mm-hmm. save individuals. And, you know, Jesus preached to many who would not listen to him, the greatest teacher there ever was.
Yeah, yeah.
They wouldn't listen to him. So there's going to be those who won't listen to us. And so it's not necessarily a reflection on my fruit bearing if I'm not producing other Christians, okay?
Right, right, right.
You know, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and following, there are fruit, the fruit of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that's even produced in my life and the lives of others,
right,
as well. So, you know, but that doesn't negate the fact of the Great Commission.
Right, right.
Don't make it the Great Omission.
Right.
You know.
Good point. That's good. Yeah, that's there was a lesson that I had the chance to talk about recently, and I used a diamond. And I said, just as this diamond is multifaceted and shines in different ways, that's the way the Christian life is multifaceted. You know, we're doing so much at once, you know, to glorify God. You know, we are loving, we're merciful, we're forgiving. I mean, we're worshiping. There's a lot to it, you know. And so it is a beneficial life for us. Well, we're talking about glorifying God. We move into this next section about loving his servants and seeing the great servant that he was, Jesus, as he lays down his life for us. And so we have the opportunity to jump out into verses 9 through 17 just now.
As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
What a beautiful statement to be able to enjoy this morning as we live our mornings for the Master. As the Father hath loved me, so I've loved you. You know, we sing that song, brother, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And this is one of those mentions that's from that song, you know. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, I understand this to be that agape love, that perfect love, that boundless love. We certainly are so appreciative of the way he loves us. And we ask ourselves, even in reflection, is it the fact that I'm loving him the way that he has loved me? Because it is a very complete love. It's a wonderful love. It's that love that, again, is multifaceted. In 1 Corinthians 13, we run that exercise on a regular basis to run through there and put your name there, you know, where that love is there. Am I acting this way? And so he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. And so notice what abiding involves. It is doing the commandments of above. So many Old Testament references come to our mind, but you continue to look back and you see Noah, you see Abraham, you see all those, you know, that are mentioned even in Hebrews chapter 11. And what did they do but keep the commandments, keep the statutes, keep the precepts, keep the charge? They did all those things that God asked them to do and were recorded for eternity, really, and even this wonderful book we hold in our hands, as faithful, as true, as just. And so we're made known today what it is to abide. To abide in his love is to keep his commandments. And so abiding in him, out of love for him, we're going to want to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, Richard, so many times the people in the world today, they said, oh, yeah, you got a book full of thou shalt nots, you know. But, you know, in my household, there was a bunch of thou shalt nots, too. Don't touch the hot stove.
Right.
Don't put an entire roll of toilet paper down the toilet. I mean, those things are a benefit, you know.
Exactly. You know, the things that we love, we set boundaries for.
Yeah.
And God is the one who created us and knows us. And he set boundaries for us. And the thou shalt nots are there for a reason.
Absolutely.
Don't do this because it's not good for you. And the thou shalts are there because these things are good for you. Do mm-hmm. these things because they're good for you.
Right.
You know, I mean, we understand that. People today think more of their dogs than they do of their children.
Yeah.
You know, of their animals. And I mean, we're worried about if a animal's eating a chicken byproduct or gluten or something more than we're worried about, you know, children. And they understand, oh, I don't want my dog to get run over on the street, so what do? I put a fence around my yard for when I let them out, they don't go out there. There's a thou shalt not. Thou shalt not run out into the road, or you're going to get ran over.
Mm-hmm.
They get that. And it's not God just not wanting us to not have fun or, you know, things of that nature. He's protecting us because he loves us.
That's right. In verse 11, he wants us to be full of joy.
Exactly.
And that's what's going to happen if we stay within the boundaries, as it were, if we stay within his commandments.
And Jesus isn't asking anything of us that he was not willing to do.
That's exactly
right. He said,
right.
You abide in mine as I abided in the Father's commandments and abided in his love.
That's right. Something I see, it kind of stands out to me in verse 11. You know, we reminded ourselves even yesterday in our study with Ryan, let not your heart be troubled, right? He's going away, mm-hmm. right? And so here he's making these wonderful statements with them knowing that he's talking about going away. And so notice he says that your joy can still be full, even though he's going away. And here's how to make that joy full. Here's how you stay pleasing. Here's how you are true to what we have taught you while I was here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. And so here's the standard. You know, even as you Look back again a couple of chapters back as he washed their feet. He says, I have given you an example, right? John 13 and verse 15. So what now? Do as I have done unto you. And so take the example and run with it, right? The joy that was set before him, what is that, Hebrews 12, about verse 2 or 3 there? The joy that was set before him, you know, you think about even the other side. You know, there's times in my son's early life when we had the chance to stand up in the crowd and yell as he ran the bases or, you know, something and you know, say, that's my boy, you know, and, you know, just to know that you have made your dad happy, that you have brought, you know, joy to mom and dad as they sit in the stands, or, you know, it fills your heart, you know, it makes you feel complete. And, you know, in a spiritual aspect, I look forward to the opportunity every day to do that which pleases the Lord. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so look at this, the opportunity that Jesus had to fulfill the Father's joy.
You know, that always reminds me of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Mm. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, so that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Mm. You know, if a man really loves them, then he's willing to put others first and above themselves. And, I mean, we're right on the right behind the servant chapter of 13 of the washing of the feet, you know, that took place. Serving others and putting others first and laying down his life. And even for us, we don't have that opportunity very often, but we can, you know, lay it aside for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Reminds us of Romans 5 and verse 7, you know, scarcely for a righteous man right. would some die, or even for a good man, you know. But look at what he did for us. He shows us how much he loves us by giving his son while we were yet in sin.
You see, Chip, in this little section of passage that we just read, no less than 10 times he mentions love. Mm. I mean, it's just saturated mm-hmm. with love. But in the midst of this love, there's obedience.
Right.
You know, it
goes hand in hand.
Right. It goes hand in hand. People want to talk about the love of God, and how about our love for God? Mm. We can sing Jesus Loves Me.
Yeah.
You know? For the Bible tells me so. Mm-hmm. I know that. But, oh, how I love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Can I sing that?
Right.
Because here he says, if I love him, this is what the result is.
Yeah, this is going to be the fruit. And so, I see I'm quickly running out of time. I love to just jabber on. But I notice that he comes down here and he makes a terribly tender and compassionate statement here. He says, you are my friends. He says, I will call you no more servants. That's that word doulos in the Greek, slave. I will no more call you that, but friends. And obviously the allusion there is that, you know, you don't often tell your servants what's going on. You know, I mean, I'm interested sometimes to know what's going on behind closed doors, but it's none of your business. You know, if you need to know, it's on a need to know basis, you know, but notice what he says here. He says, you are my friends and I have revealed those things that my Father has revealed unto me, the creator of the universe and his mind, his thoughts is being revealed unto them. And notice in my name as verse 16 ends. And maybe, again, it's just me, but I thought back to in Acts chapter 3 about verse 6 where they called on the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth for that event to take place. And that's the authority, right? Calling on the authority of heaven. And so they are referred to as friends. And so you are my friends. What a friend that we have in Jesus, we sing from time to time. What a wonderful thing to consume this morning. These things I command you, that you love one another. And so, like you said, Richard, we have a section on abiding followed by a section of love. And so love and abiding go hand in hand. And then we look at this idea of the opportunity to preach to the world. And sometimes the world's not always going to listen, you know, because they're of the world. They're not of Christ. And so as we have a few minutes left this morning, let's read verses 18 through 27.
Even before that, one quick verse,
yes.
Hebrews chapter 2, you know, verse 11. This idea that he calls them friends.
Mm-hmm.
He says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are of one, and for this reason he is not ashamed to call them brother.
Wow, yeah.
You know, brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he is my friend, he is my brother, but he's my king, he's my Lord, he's my master, you know, all of those as well. But it is the fact that we can call him brother. He's not ashamed to call those who follow him brother.
And blow it out a little bit further to even be able to consider for a moment that we're joint heirs?
Joint heirs.
Together?
Paul, you know, in what, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he said we're co-workers with God.
Yeah, fellow laborers.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it's kind of hard to swallow some of that, you know, and understand.
Now, 18 through the end. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you, would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and had spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law. They hated me without cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, and the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
That's one of those qualifications, right, for choosing of that 12th disciple we saw in Acts chapter 1. You know, he had to be with him from the beginning. And so there's a lot in that, a lot of meat to consider here. You go back to verse number 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me first, right? And so notice that these things that when Jesus says, follow me, when Jesus says to take up your cross and deny self and follow me daily, there's a lot that goes into that. And we're encouraged even in Luke chapter 14 to count the cost of discipleship. Consider what it is that you're facing. Now, you and I both have talked about on several different occasions that these individuals, that though they may have forsaken him at the cross and maybe even gone fishing for a time, have come back and followed. And most every one of them that we know of, even through historical records, would die the death of a martyr, save perhaps John, who I believe died at a late age there around the city of Ephesus. But notice what they would endure. You know, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that you're going to face persecution and reviling and things, but blessed are you if you face these things, you know, if you do these things in my name or for my name's sake. And so a part of this happy living that he describes for us in the Sermon on the Mount has to do with facing persecution. We're going to face that on a regular basis if we're following him. These people that are of the world, goes back to 1 John 3, beginning even at the top of the chapter, you know, the world knows us not. And why is that? Because they know him not. Because they don't know him. They haven't identified with him. They haven't listened to his teaching and his word. And so if you were of the world would love his own. And so you see, even in politics today, you see the world championing on these individuals that are screaming profanities and making ugly statements. And they get along with each other because they are of the world. And you know, when we have the opportunity to stand up and expose error through the teachings of Jesus, when we have the opportunity to show someone the truth and lead them out of darkness into light. You know, sometimes it's an amazing thing, Richard, when you first walk out in the morning and that sun hits you in the face for the very first time. You know, you squint, you cover your eyes. You know, it's an amazing thing to behold. And so being brought into the light may very well be a shock at first. But when we abide in him, when we follow his commandments, when we come to know him, then certainly that love will continue in us. And so he looks to the, and he says, now, this is what you're going to face. He says, notice, you know, don't be downtrodden. You know, I mean, you've told us on air, I know several times, that if someone slams a door in your face when you're trying to preach the gospel or invite them to services or whatever, don't be scared to death. Don't say, well, I'm never going to knock another door, or I'm never going to invite someone again, you know, because those things are going to happen from time to time. Not everyone is seeking the light. Not everybody's seeking the Savior. He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. I think back to some jobs that I had, and, you know, you hate to work for somebody that won't even do what they ask you to do. You know, get down there and dig that ditch or scrub that floor, and you know very well that they wouldn't do it. Well, he was reviled. He was refused, and he was ultimately slain by those wicked hands, as Peter would proclaim in Acts 2. And so he says, realize what's ahead of you. All these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. That gets right back to what we just mentioned in Matthew 5, beginning of verse 10. He said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, right? And so, you know, how would we know about heaven unless the Word of God exposed it to us? How would we know about sin unless the Word had exposed it to us? You know, and so his Word is so very beneficial to us, and it is that which reveals goodness and the perfect life unto us, that abundant life.
You know, and even with this, I don't want people to rest the Scriptures, the idea that, okay, if we don't tell people about it, they won't have sin.
Right.
You know, there's still this. But what he's pointing out to is almost like what he told them, you know, over in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 21, where he says, woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago with sackcloth and ashes. And he goes on, and he says, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than you. And then he, woe unto you, Capernaum, for the same reason. It'd be more tolerable to you in Sodom. Mm-hmm. You know, they're without excuse. They had seen these mighty, wonderful works. That's what Nicodemus had already said in John 3. We know that no man can do these things except he be sent from God, or God is with him. And, you know, Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Mm. You know, they're without excuse is what he's pointing out here. They saw the signs. He spoke to them himself, and they still did this sin.
Yeah, certainly we need to come to the same understanding that the centurion did there at the cross.
Exactly.
Truly, this is the Son of God. And so with knowledge, Richard, comes responsibility. When somebody screams fire, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit on your thumbs, or are you going to get a fire hose? You're going to call 911? And so that's a reflection even of James 4 and verse 17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we have the opportunity to do good. We have the opportunity to fulfill the works that we have been sent to do and please the Lord, but realize there may very well be some opposition along the way. But remember, 1 Corinthians 15:58, as long as you're abounding in the work of the Lord, nothing is in vain. Nothing is in vain. We're doing it for heaven. We're laying up treasures in heaven.
And what it may even lead to, Philippians chapter 1, you know, things that happen to me happen to the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah.
You know.
May help somebody else somewhere else.
Right. Mm. We may have never had an opportunity until that persecution came.
Man, oh man. Well, at the last couple of seconds we've got, let's just make a quick mention at best of the comforter that's coming. Remember, he says he's going away. Trouble not yourselves. You're still going to be able to have joy. And the comforter is coming. and the Comforter, that wonderful consoler, that aid from heaven that's going to remind them of things, that advocate, that consoler. What a blessing it is to know that you're not going to be left alone. And so you think about the last words of, Matthew 28. You know, he says, I'm with you always. You know, what a comforting thought.
And man has put these divisions here, 15 mm-hmm. to 16. In just a few moments, he's going to mention again in chapter 16 of verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you to go that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Mm. You know, so this thought is going to continue in our next chapter study.
Awesome. And look forward to that with Brother McElyea tomorrow, Lord willing. He'll lead you through chapter 16, so stay tuned to that tomorrow. We are very, very grateful for the opportunity to study God's Word together, and we are glad that you're with us today because we have had a blessed opportunity to listen to Jesus talk today. So many times we don't give Jesus the opportunity to talk, but boy, he talked today. 27 verses, a beautiful study together. So bless each one of you today. We're thankful that you're with us, and we pray that you'll continue to stay tuned throughout the day to thegospelradionetwork.org. May God bless you today as you walk with the Master.
Been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.